Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels, practice number 11 in the books here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Coming to you live across the street from Lambeau Field. We've heard from Matt LaFleur. We've heard from the guys in the locker room. Now it's time to hear from you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do here. Today was a physical practice, undoubtedly one of the more physical practices we've seen. Lots of work in the run game, pads were popping, and a few injuries of note. Warren Brinson had to bow out at one point, went into the Hudson Center dealing with something there. A couple guys got poked in the eye very randomly. Carl Brooks had to drop out of practice completely. Zach Tom went to the ground after getting a hand to the face area, but thankfully he was fine, eventually got back up and rejoined the fray. But kind of an odd situation having guys drop to the ground due to hands to the face slash getting poked in the eye. Some really good performances all around. Per usual, a couple guys jumping out. Micah Robinson, another strong practice for the rookie cornerback. Love what I see from this kid. Really excited to watch once they get into preseason mode, starting to get some opponents and joint practice situations where got to think he's going to be given all that he can handle in that regard. Jordan Love in the offense and Malik Willis in the second offense really took it to the defense at the end of practice, competitive period, both offenses marching the field and scoring a touchdown, which of course ended up as the defense having to do pushups. Though it is interesting because I thought the defense overall during the practice was very active and quite productive. No player more so than Edgerrin Cooper. He was absolutely everywhere today. A really impressive day at Reinicke Field for Cooper. Really, I know a lot of people have talked this offseason about his potential and hopefully his taking the next step. And you're certainly seeing that each and every day here at practice in Green Bay for training camp, which it's just a building block, right? It's a stepping stone. But man, all signs point to that next step becoming the type of player and a possible star in this league that certainly his rookie year suggested was possible. That it was the second practice this week, almost 2.5 hours long. Matt LaFleur did indicate that this was going to be a grinding week. These guys are going to have, you know, a lot put on their plate, and we certainly saw that yesterday and today. We got one more of these practices tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. here local time. Then Friday, they are closed to the public. They'll probably have a walkthrough at some point on Friday in Lambeau Field, getting ready for the Jets preseason game on Saturday. I will be leaving Wisconsin on Friday. So there won't be a daily on Friday, but I will have my regular post-practice video and chat tomorrow. So that will wrap things up for my coverage here in Green Bay. And as I indicated yesterday, I won't be going live for the preseason game, but I will be doing a live chat post game. So be on the lookout for that. Going to be really exciting to see a lot of these young guys get opportunities in a live setting against NFL competition and for, you know, some real kind of stakes when you're talking about guys fighting for a spot on the 53 or even a spot on the practice squad. I think you talk about steps throughout training camp and through the preseason and the intensity ratcheting up across those steps. And certainly Saturday is going to be one of those big moments for so many of these young guys. You've heard a lot about them, whether it is a guy like Robinson or whether it's a Julian Hicks, who had a number of really nice catches today, or a Will Shepard, another wide receiver who's really, I think, made the most of his opportunities when given to him. That's what Saturday's all about, and I can't wait to talk to you guys about it after that game. What's going on in the comments? So good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everyone chiming in. Benarak, greetings. How are you? Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since the early 90s, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, or indeed in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, or SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. You know you'll want to. Exciting times. What's going on, chat? How we doing? Ed starting us off with a super chat. How are you, Ed? Does Matt LaFleur bounce around in practice or just concentrate on the offense? Who picks out your daily photos? Well, I pick out the daily photos. Appreciate you noticing that there are daily photos. I try to keep them within the theme of the day and or what I plan on talking about. Does Matt LaFleur bounce around? Yes, I mean, he is mostly concentrated on the offensive side of the ball. Clearly, he's the game planner slash play caller on that side, so he does pay a lot of his attention. But, you know, he's certainly around everything all of the time, walking through the drill work, talking to both Brian Gutekunst and Jeff Hafley about anything and everything transpiring throughout the afternoon or throughout the practice. But yes, a lot of the time, especially obviously when it's the team portion of practice where the offense is going against the defense, he's usually nearby to Adam Stenovich, Jason Vrabel, all those guys on the offensive coaching staff, while you've got Hafley and his crew with the defensive players over on their end. But certainly he is prowling the Ray Nitschke field throughout the entirety of each practice, looking in on each and every position group, each and every side of the ball, including special teams. Certainly, he is the grand overseer of all things Packers practice. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Matt LaFleur's comments this morning suggest he likes Bullard's play more than we think by what we read on the Packers blogosphere. Thoughts on any others? I don't really have many thoughts on, you know, any others, so to speak. But I will say the Bullard thing is interesting to me because that is a perfect representation of why I talk about the reasons I come here every summer. Because I understand that the perception, if you're just reading practice tweets, probably is like, oh, Bullard got beat again. Like, that has happened a number of times. And I don't think it's just, oh, they're targeting Bullard or he's given up all these plays. Sometimes it's just the construction of the defensive call, whether that's zone or man, where the progression leads the quarterback to a certain spot, whether that's over the middle, where traditionally that's where a lot of the slot guys end up, or whether it's, you know, somebody down the seam that he has to turn his hips and take in coverage. I think he's put way more good stuff on the field than bad. But yeah, has he given up a completion or two? Certainly. But every one of these guys has. You know what I mean? But it does feel like, with that perception in mind, the idea that you see a tweet, so-and-so catches down the field, blah, 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 Bullard in coverage, or beats Bullard for XYZ amount of yardage, for a touchdown, what have you, I understand why that might be the perception. But that certainly doesn't look like the reality that I've seen. While I've been here a little over a week and a half, I've seen him certainly give up some plays, but I've also seen him make plays. You know, the other part of that is, a guy in that position playing the slot, which is where he's predominantly been located. Now, he's done some stuff at the safety position. He's certainly been swapping in and out with Evan Williams at times. But for the most part, a lot of his work is being done down near the line of scrimmage. You can't bring guys to the ground. You can't fly around and tackle people. You're not allowed to play football yet. So that's where I think he's probably going to be most effective. That was the calling card last year. I think that's who he is as a player. And I think right now, he's not allowed to do a lot of the things he does well because they're not allowed to do anything live yet. You know, I don't want to make it sound like I'm making excuses for the guy, because certainly you don't want him giving up plays. You don't want him getting beaten coverage. I get all that. But I think there's a lot more to it than just, oh, I read some tweets and he was in coverage. That guy caught the ball. Bullard sucks. To me, that's what's really wrong with a lot of the conclusions that get jumped to when people are watching training camp coverage. That's why I always try to say, and I said this just the other day to someone, I responded, you know, try to take every tweet you see from practice with a grain of salt, because there's a lot of context that doesn't get included. There's a lot of stuff both that we can see that we can't write in a tweet, but also that we don't know about when it comes to what the coaching staff is doing, what they're asking guys to do, what the drill is designed to do, what that session is emphasizing and asking of the guys. Again, it's not excuse making, but it's just the idea that there's a lot more context to whatever happens on each and every play out there at practice than, oh, this guy got beat. Okay, well, why did he get beat? Well, where was the help? Was he expecting help? Did help not arrive? Was it funneled this way so that he could try and take advantage and jump it and he just missed it? Like, there are so many things that I just, like, this time of year in particular. And it's funny. It's kind of why I've kind of come around on the Packers not allowing video from practice. And I know there are plenty of people in the stands taking videos and they get out there. They're on Twitter. I get it. Totally understand it. But man, all you got to do is go on Twitter to any video from any training camp practice around the NFL and look at the comments below any one of those clips to see how few people really understand what they're looking at. I mean, it is hard to look at. It's hard to read some of those comments and people jump into these major. And I look, I get it. Football fans, some of them are having fun. Some of them are taking a dig at an opposing you know, fan base, et cetera. I mean, God knows that's what happens each and every day, seemingly, between Bears and Packers fans when those clips get out, right? It's just so much is happening on the practice field that you're not privy to, that I'm not privy to, even being here information-wise. So that's a very long-winded answer, but the Bullard thing, to me, is a kind of perfect encapsulation of that. Corey Banky's got some big old produce behind him. Oh, I love it. Corey Banky's garden is in full bloom. Good stuff. Good stuff. What else we got here, folks? Justice is here. What's up, buddy? Where were you when Donovan Jennings made the 53? I think I was in your imagination. I kid. We got a long way to go. I suspect he'll probably turn it on once the preseason games start happening. I haven't been blown away. I do like that he's out there and getting opportunities. We'll see. It's tough to really, without the benefit of any kind of tape, you know, outside of family night, to really get a grasp and a good look at what he's been doing. But it's going to be an interesting road, and the preseason games will tell us a lot. Probably, honestly, the joint practices will probably tell us the most. But we shall see, sir. We shall see. Puma, this is a very good question. Why is Dobbs always mentioned in trade talks when all he does is win? He's our third down king and a dog in contested catches. I just don't get it. Help me understand the logic. Some of that, a lot of that, I would suspect, is a bit of a down ending to his season last year, and that was kind of a recurring theme with the wide receivers in general. And people see they selected two wide receivers in the draft. Maybe they're thinking, oh, we can trade for help in the secondary. I mean, you'd have to ask the people making this assertion, but I'm with you, man. I think he's a really good football player. I think he continues to get better even heading into year four. And yeah, to your point, you talk about third down king. No one caught more first downs last year for the Green Bay Packers on third down than Romeo Doubs. I mean, he is an absolute security blanket for Jordan Love, and he seems to be getting even better as in regards to his work down the field. Some of the more traditional, you know, deep stuff like nine, post route, post corner, things like that. You know, there's no way I trade him unless someone obviously offers the most ridiculous trade package, like, you know, multiple premium picks. Okay, take Romeo Doubs. Like, then, okay, you know, everyone's got a price. But there's no way I see that happening, and there's no way I think the Packers should move him. I will say, I think one of the problems here is, you know, there's the draft industrial complex, but then there's this weird, you know, couch GM bubbling community here that is always looking to just make moves because that's fun to talk about. And roster construction is a pastime for a lot of football fans, right? And so they think, oh, if they move Romeo now, they can get something before him before he leaves in free agency. Man, I'm utilizing Romeo Doubs this year for everything I can. And if he hits free agency, which he probably will, he'll probably get a really good deal someplace else. And you just take the comp pick. I think that's what's probably going to happen. So, yeah, man, I hear you. I think he's a very, very good receiver. And he's worth more to the Packers than probably any other team that would bring him in and have to assimilate him, put him in their offense, etc. But, yeah, there's certainly a community that just lives to posit hypothetical trades just because they like, you know, the idea of being a general manager and constructing a roster. What else we got here, folks? Larry Peters. This seems to be a recurring theme this summer. I left for a year but missed your content, and have to remember, no matter our differences on other topics, we all come to this page for our Green Bay Packer love. I'll stay away from the Twitter aspect. Go Pack, go. Larry, I appreciate that. I appreciate the sentiment. And yes, that is and always will be what Cheesehead TV is all about. There is a whole lot going on in the outside world, but right here, this is all about the green and gold. It's all about the Green Bay Packers and fans and people that love the team and are connected to it the same way we are. And that's why we exist as a community. So I appreciate that sentiment, and I welcome you with open arms. Welcome back. Soder, this is a fair point. With no real pass rush, every DB is going to give up plays in practice. Man, you are preaching right now. It's so true, because there are a number of plays, especially some of the deeper shots and stuff where the quarterbacks, and it's not just Love, all four of these quarterbacks, like, sometimes have opportunities to sit in a pocket that doesn't or wouldn't actually exist. You know, there was a play today where Jordan Love hit, I think it was Matthew Golden up the right sideline, that 100% would have been either a sack or a strip slash fumble. Like, they're not allowed to even breathe on the quarterbacks. So, yeah, they've got some time in the pocket, and defensive backs are going to get beat. There's zero doubt about that. Let me see what we got here, folks. I don't want to miss any super chats. Oh my goodness. Badger Trio, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you. When should we know the game Sharp gets the ring? I hope we get a game. Did sound promising per his remarks in his brother's podcast. We'll be waiting with bated breath until they announce it. There's no time frame, but I got to suspect they're in negotiations to do something at some point this season. And I'm with you, man. I would love to be there. I would love to see that moment. Love to see his name revealed. See him back in Lambeau Field. Just that aspect alone is kind of gives me kind of goosebumps, you know. But yeah, man. There's no word yet. No word on when that might happen. But I'll 1,000,000,000% keep our eyes and ears open and let you guys know as soon as we hear something, because that will be a phenomenal moment. What else we got here, folks? Got people going in. Richard, what's up? Who looks really fast out there? The guys you'd suspect, Matthew Golden and Mecole Hardman. Hardman had a great play today where he should have had a touchdown, but Ballantyne knocked the ball out of his arms after he took a couple steps. So it would have been a fumble, and I think it would have gone out of bounds, or it did go out of bounds. But you know, those two dudes, yeah, they're noticeably faster human beings. I will say, you know who's deceptively fast? Like, you don't think it just looking at him, maybe because he's doing some running back stuff as well and stuff out of the backfield. Savion Williams, he has a gear that is really, again, it's deceptive for a man built like he is. Like, he is a big dude, right? He's a classic Packers type wide receiver looking anyway. But the way they utilize him, so much stuff that's going kind of horizontal. But once he gets going, he puts his foot in the ground and gets upfield, he's fast as hell, man. Like, he plays fast. I'm excited to see how they utilize him early in the season, because I do think it feels like, now it's so early, they're doing installs, who knows how much, you know, they really end up game planning with him in mind, but it sure feels like they got an idea of how they kind of want to sprinkle him in, so to speak, depending probably on the opponent and the defense. But yeah, he's been noticeable as far as, you know, having another gear that maybe I didn't expect him to have. Here we go. Brian, what's up, man? I was told the Bears were going to take the NFC North and never give it back. Still waiting. Hey, man, be careful what you wish for. You know, they had a live tackling practice yesterday. They're ready to be the new Detroit Lions, according to my Twitter feed. And, you know, they're ready to take over the NFC North again, /finally. And, you know, Ben Johnson's a genius. That's what I've been hearing. That's what Twitter is telling me. We'll see if that's the case yet again, you know, but needless to say, I'm really looking forward to these Bears games this year. Menace, what's going on, man? Hot take, re-sign 87 long-term and let 9 walk. That could happen. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'd be surprised. I'd be pretty surprised, but I'm not sitting here going to tell you it's impossible or it's never going to happen. you know, the big question there and the big kind of tell will come when Watson gets back on the field and shows what he's got post-injury. I suspect he's probably going to ball out, and they're going to most likely re-sign Watson because he has all the upside and all the kind of athleticism and special traits that Romeo Doubs does not. And it doesn't take anything away from Romeo. Like I just talked about, he's a good player. But, man, you're talking about a guy, you give him the ball anywhere on the field and he can take it to the house. That's Christian Watson. Doubs is a really good player, but he's not that. So, yeah, we'll see. Long season to go. Long, long season to go. Hell, we ain't even preseason yet. Oh, Soder, could not agree more. I think I talked about this yesterday or the day before. One of the big pluses of Sharp getting into the Hall of Fame is Magic getting a little run here. I absolutely adored seeing Magic have that shot with Sterling in Canton. Like, man, absolutely. That connection, if you guys are old enough, and I know Soder, I know you are, if you guys are old enough to remember the two of them playing together, Magic and Sharp, that was a special time to be a Packers fan. It was the first time in a long time that you had actual hope and you actually watched guys connect on a really special level, kind of in a way we hadn't seen since, like, you know, Dickey and Lofton. So yeah, that was heartening, no doubt about it. Kerry Bishop, this is a timely question. Nags, will none of the regular starters play in preseason, or will coach get some time in with them so we will be ready for Detroit? Thoughts? I suspect there's a chance that we see some of the frontline guys this week, and then they probably most likely shut them down for the rest of the preseason, simply because there aren't any joint practices this week with the Jets, where there will be joint practices with the Colts and then with the Seahawks, or joint practice for one of those, you know, each week. So maybe, perhaps, they get a little work in with Love, the ones, what have you, like Xavier McKinney, those guys on the other side of the ball. But I will say, with that said, you know, that would make sense to me, and it wouldn't surprise me if Matt went that route. But at the same time, I still fully expect to see like this list of 40 dudes who aren't suiting up, because that's how they've kind of worked in the preseason. But we'll see, man. We'll see. I'm hopeful we get a little bit of the ones on Saturday. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell the friends and tell the family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.